here intended. He might have spoken many words after these in prose, but none in verse. So not the last words that David spoke in life, but the last poetical, the last words of verse that he wrote. So these be the last words of David, and they're significant words. They disclose a life. They tell us so much about himself and the necessary experiences or experience that we all need. Things in David's life that ought to be in the life of all who find acceptance before God. So notice some of them. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." Now, there are some things in that verse that are quite unique to David with regards to his anointing and appointment to be the king, and indeed a writer of scripture, a writer of the Psalms. We cannot ever enter into such an experience or have such appointments for ourselves. But nevertheless, there is something that we can apply to ourselves from them. David says he was a man who was raised up on high. That's his appointment to the office of king, of course. He was taken from minding sheep to being the shepherd, as it were, of the flock of the people of the nation, the people of Israel. He was anointed of the God of Jacob and became the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, this was a mini biography, like here's a little summary of David's appointment. We'll never be a king, we'll never write psalms or inspired scripture, but will it be said of us, or could it be, that God has raised us up? Is there not a sense in which every true Christian is a man or a woman who has been raised up on high? Well, that's obviously true. In our natural state, we are in the mire of our sin. We are corrupted. We are separated from God. There is no dignity about us. There is nothing lovable, nothing admirable. There is no great work that we could ever do for God, no service that would be acceptable to God. No, a person needs to be raised up. They need to be the anointed of the God of Jacob. The anointing here of David is his anointing to office, of course. It would have happened publicly before Israel. But of course, for you and me, the anointing that we require, that if we are to have a biography, if you like, that is substantial, something that could be written about you and me and included in our little biography, as it were, Well, we need the anointing of God. That is to be born of the Spirit. Not some unique office, but salvation. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit through receiving Christ as a lost and guilty sinner. We need to be raised out of our natural state, out of our sin. We need to be anointed by the Spirit of God. When we savingly trust in Christ, this can be written about you and me. We can sing, if not write, the praises of God. David was called to write them and to sing them with the people of God. Well, is there a part in your biography where it could be recorded that you've truly praised God. You've been brought to life, brought to faith. You've been born of the Spirit. You have a heart for God. You want to praise a Savior that loved you, that died to save you, that's reconciled you to God. Amazing grace, amazing love. Is there a part in your life? Could there be a little paragraph, as it were, in that biography where it is written of you, you truly praise God? Or have you never really praised the Lord at all? Never from the heart. Perhaps with the others, when we have gathered in the little center, we have praised, we have sang the praises of God. You've sang them as well. You've joined in. But you know, truth be told, your heart was never truly in it. For you don't know yet Christ. You've not received him. You've not been born of the Spirit. The love of God not shed abroad in your heart, nor in any measure reciprocated that love, because he first loved you and he's still a stranger to grace. Then come to the Savior. Come to the Lord himself. Well, here is David. He was raised up. He was lifted up to high office. He was anointed publicly by the God of Jacob, by the representative of the God of Jacob. And he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, verse 2, look, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Now again, he's speaking of himself as an inspired writer of Scripture. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. We will never be inspired writers of Scripture, but can't we, if we are truly the Lord's, speak the word with an earnestness and a sincerity? Can't we appreciate the word and what it does for the soul? Why, this could be written about you and me if we are true believers. This person had an appetite for the word. They loved the Scriptures, inspired Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that men, holy men of old, chosen men of God, inscripturated, wrote the Scriptures. And the believer rejoices in the word, has a heart for the word, has an appetite for the word. We're writing your biography, remember. Can you honestly say, if it was to be written at this moment and based on your experiences, that you would be able to have included words to the effect that you rejoiced in the Scripture? You love the word. It feeds your soul truly, and you rejoice in it now. It no longer simply condemns. It feeds. It lifts you up. It presents Christ to you. Its greatest, most wonderful blessing. Well, here is David. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. It's your word, the word of the Lord, rather, upon your tongue. Not one that you were to write down as an inspired writer, but the word as it's already given. The full, the complete canon of Scripture that we have in our Bible. Does it appear on your tongue? Do you use it? Do you speak it? Do you love it? Do you speak it to others? Can you converse about it with an earnestness and a delight and a joy? Have you been born of the Spirit? Have you been made anew? Verse 3. The God of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Let me just give you a little alternative reading of these words from verse 3. When one rules from he that ruleth, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun in a cloudless morning. He shines on them like the rain that falls upon the earth, causing the grass to sprout. That's the meaning. It's the blessing that one brings, one gives, says David, when he that rules over men justly, when he rules in the fear of God. Well, again, we'll never be rulers as King David was. This isn't rule or the application, even evangelistically. No, it's those that have the word itself, those that have an authority, those that are blessed with God's truth. It's not only come to them so powerfully as to reconcile them to God, make them wise unto salvation. It's transforming their life. And they're enabled. They are helped to bless others. We don't rule over them, but we can be such a blessing. Would there be a paragraph written of in your biography or of you that you had lived such a life, even in some measure, at some times, because you're a believer, a true child of God, you were helped, you were enabled to do something for men. You blessed them. David says, when one rules well and justly and in the fear of God, he's like, verse 4, a light of the morning to them. He's like the sun when it rises without clouds. He's like the rain falling upon the grass that causes it to sprout and shoot up. Is there any blessing in your life? If not even through your words, but because you are a true child of God, what you will leave behind, what might be written about you, again, if it was a biography to be written now, would be this, that there was some impact upon those about you. That indeed, you with regards to family and neighbors or colleagues or friends, because you're a spirit-filled person, one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, because you've come to saving faith in Christ, that it could be said of you, that person, because they recognize you belong to God. You have faith. You walk with God. You are a true Christian. You display that. You reveal that as you live, not always then in your words, but could it be written, could it be said of you that there was an impact, that you caused some even to think about faith, about eternity, about another world, because your values and your words, perhaps, of witness when, even on occasion, you were helped to speak, that these had an impact on some? Or will it be at the end of your life, there's nothing to record? We just one with the rest, with the great herd of humanity that never come to faith in the Lord, that never responded to the gospel, even if they heard it, that were never moved by the sufferings of Christ, nor responded to his gracious words, calling sinners to himself and to repent. You've heard those words, but are you still ignoring and rejecting him? No, look, will we leave some impact on those about us? Have we a measure of salt and light? Is there no seasoning, no flavoring, touching the lives of others in any way? Well, there couldn't be if we're not converted ourselves. There'd be no light that others might see, not even a glimmer if we are not the Lord's, no reflection of Christ. Is that what would have to be written about your life up to now? You do not reflect Christ, not a glimmer of him. There is no salt. You have no impact on those about you. You're just simply one with them. Well, you need to come, of course, then, to the Lord himself. Respond to his word. You notice, here's what changes a life. Here's the way a child of God begins to live. They live, end of verse 3, in the fear of God. What does that mean? Well, to live in the fear of God is to live conscious that there's going to be a review of your life. We're all going to be reviewed. We're all going to stand before the judge. We're all going to give an account to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, in your biography, if one was to be written, could it be said, could it be recorded, that you lived in the fear of the Lord, that healthy fear, that enhancing fear, that consciousness without dread, that you must be reviewed one day? You must meet your Maker. You must meet the Lord. You must give an account to him. Well, if we know the Lord, then we will live and walk in the fear of the Lord. Well, I'm coming quickly now to a conclusion. But look, here is a pivotal verse in verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Oh, look, what a biography. What wonderful words, if these words could be written of us, and they can be of every believer, whoever else has not a relationship with the Lord, to be able to say, and others to write with a confidence, this man, this woman, walked, lived in a covenant relationship with Almighty God, with the Savior himself, the one that loved them and died for them. They have a covenant that is unbreakable. You know, this covenant secures our friendship with God, the fatherhood of God. We are adopted and become his children. Forgiveness is secured in the covenant. All my sin will be pardoned, cleansed, and washed away. God will see no sin in me. We have an advocate through the covenant, a savior we have everlasting life. What a glorious covenant made between the persons of the Godhead. We might say particularly between the Father and the Son with regards to our redemption and our reconciliation. What a gracious, what a wonderful testimony. What wonderful words to be written about anyone. As David confidently says, I don't know about all my house. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow, that is from the family. They may not all become believers, but to know that you yourself are in the covenant of Almighty God, unbreakable, eternal. You must be brought home. Well, there's a contrast, of course, verses 6 and 7, and I'll be closing with these. But the sons of Belial, that just means the unworthy. Belial, of course, was an idol, a god that was worshipped. But the term itself just means worthless. Those worthless sons shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with arm and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. We live in a life that's ultimately worthless. You see, a life out of union and out of the saving knowledge of Christ is a life ultimately that's just worthless. It truly is. We may be successful. We may earn the respect of many. We may have many successes and achievements. But you see, all said and done, apart from Christ, God says that life was a worthless life. What a sad thing to be written. We don't want that as a biography or to be recorded of us. Surely we want to leave the world as those who are known to have trusted in Christ. And in some measure, we acted as salt and light. We were raised up. We were anointed. We were born of the Spirit. We could sing his praises with gratitude and with feeling and with a fervency and earnestness, because we've been saved by the Lord, because we've come to grasp his wondrous love and amazing grace for unworthy, undeserving, and yes, we too, in our natural state, were worthless sinners. But oh, so precious to him that he gave his life to save sinners, to put value to our life. I'll close with this. There have been many who have written, or of whom it has been written, various things about their life. We just give a couple of things that were said by some, as they perhaps summed up life itself. And indeed, in some cases I'm going to quote, they actually were almost their very last words. The great Churchill, as he was dying, summed up his last struggles with these words, I'm bored with it all. I'm bored with it all. Let my suffering, let my last labored breath's end. I'm bored. Well, I hope he had more hope in his heart than he expressed. I hope he had a trust in Christ. Perhaps sarcastically, Beethoven, the great Beethoven, applauded by many, he turned to some friends and he said, "Applaud, my friends, the comedy is finished. Life's just gone. Lived for his music, to compose it, to write it, to have it performed." And he was all applauded and held in the highest regard. But did he have a faith? The comedy is finished. What will your summation be of your own life? What could you say about your life? Abraham Lincoln, it's not the years in your life that counts. It's the life in your years. Well, they are wise words. Absolutely. It's not how long you live. Not the years in your life, but the life in your years. Have you spiritual life? A spiritual dimension. Oh, look to the Lord. We need to be quickened. We that are dead in trespasses and sins can be born and made anew. I like those words of Abraham Lincoln. Let me just close with even better words. We read them. The words of the apostle, spoken near the end of his life. You'll have read them, or perhaps heard them read many, many times. Here's what you want to be able to say as you approach the end of your life. I don't know how long you will live. Perhaps many years yet. Perhaps not. What matters, remember, as Lincoln said, not the years in your life that counts. It's the life in your years. If your spiritual life, you can die resting, trusting in Christ with a living hope at any age. Now the words of Paul. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." To every believer looking to the glorious appearance of our glorious Savior. To know him is to know and experience real life. Everlasting life is communion with the Lord in his presence. Oh, turn to the Lord. Would your biography make good reading if it was written now? Have you come to the Lord? Are you his? If not, call upon him. Look to him. Cast yourself upon his mercy and his grace. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a willing Savior.